This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So it's part three, I think, of content for this week. We've had our transfer talk, we've had our preview show for the City game, and we are back with the same team. I assure you, we did not record this in advance. Mike has joined us again, fresh from his adventure to the Etihad to watch the clouds in the pouring down rain get beat again. So we're very grateful for him to come in and share that experience. And of course, Dave's back as well to give us the preview show for Fulham. So that's what we've got to cover this evening. Let's start. Gentlemen, welcome. Mike, especially welcome back. Twice in 1 week. This is lovely. I would like to get you on the show more regularly. I think
give me a squad number and I'll be fine, you know.
Listen, managerial and coaches and CEOs' discretion. I'm bringing you in.
You know, I elbow out of the way to get my position on the team.
Oh, poor Joe. Let's not hate on George.
No.
We are 1 minute into recording. Let's not hate on poor George and his moustache. Although George has been told, actually, for those of you who watch the podcast via YouTube and prefer the visual side of it, will know that little Huddle has been sporting a rather fetching 1930s Spitfire Squadron moustache, which he's been told he needs to get rid of if he wants to carry on filming. So I don't really know how that's going to go down, but we'll see. Not from me, I add. I do not rule none and ever with such a hard line. Mike, let's just head straight over to you. You braved the elements, the absolute storm, both metaphorically and physically, at the Etihad to watch the Claretts take another hiding from City. I'm going to just give you the floor. Start us off. How was it? How did you feel? Any positives to take? Set us off.
I actually, despite myself, I think because of the day I'd had at work, I actually ended up having fun. because this is the weird thing. Normally I go there with a sense of dread and doom and all that kind of thing. And I got in and I found myself, you know, where the barrier separates like the two sets of supporters. I was right next to that, literally right next to that. And for some reason, this little, I go to watch football for two things, chaos and sarcasm. And when that happened, this little switch went in my head. I've got all these City fans here and a big mouth, and this is going to be fun.
Oh, good grief.
It was, well, you know, I'll talk it, you know, because I know exactly the point where they'd had enough, which was the point when they were singing about being champions of Europe. And I started a chant going, champions of the championship, you'll never sing that.
I'm pretty sure they probably have been the champions.
Champions of the championship. To which one guy with a lot of effing and jeffing did point that out to me. And I said, yeah. You miss the irony, but also you guys used to have a dark sense of humour. You used to be
so
like
this
that.
New money at City. They're not the same set of fans. I miss the City fans.
Yeah, the Man City. Yeah, the Man City that won the championship is not the Man City of today, in the same way that the car that Lewis Hamilton drives is not the car that Ronald McDonald drives. But anyway, that's, you know, that was the thing. But the great thing was there was clearly a couple of Man United supporting police in the middle, because one of them was just laughing his socks off.
Excellent.
It
oh,
was
I
like,
love this.
Anyway, so that was the fun part. On the pitch, it was all right.
Okay.
It was okay. I mean, okay.
It didn't feel to me like we were in the game very much, to be honest.
We weren't. We weren't in the game, but we were in it more than we have been for several occasions. There was some rumblings about Vitinho not being very good, which I think are completely unfair.
I think he's better than Roberts. I really do think he's better than Roberts.
Oh God, yes.
I know
he
this
is,
splits the fan base, but I'm Vitinho over Roberts, I think.
I'm Vitinho all the way and not Conor Roberts. You have to remember Vitinho cost us £1 million for the 10th place team in Belgium, and he's up against Jeremy Doku, who costs 55 million and is rapid. He is a fast,
oh, he's
fast
so
player.
Fast. He's so fast.
He's a very good player. As for the goals, it was so annoying at the time to see the goals, the first two goals be conceded.
Oh, the first one.
The first one, yeah, but did Ekdal get a call? Because I think he ducked out of the way. The cross comes over.
Actually, that would make sense, because when I watched the first few times, I watched it in real time and then the replay, I was like, what on earth is Ekdal doing there? And we've been, bearing in mind that we've been calling for Ekdal to be brought into the squad as our...
He was great.
He's a great defender. But that entire moment, it was just like, what on earth has just happened here? If he got a call and somebody told him to move, that would make sense.
Yeah, I couldn't quite understand it. And then I saw the replay. I'm like, he ducked slightly. I think he got a call.
Yeah, yeah.
As for the free kick, it's the sort of thing, and they've done this to us before as well, Aguero did it. It's the sort of thing, again, in the moment, you're like, oh, that's made us look amateur. That's made us look bad. But again, I looked at the replay and I'm like, how do you stop that?
You don't. I completely agree. I went through the same thought process, and they will try. I mean, listen, I think there's probably a bit of an ouch moment when you think clearly they've known they could execute. They've had the arrogance to be able to do that to us, because they know full well there is nothing in our defence that's going to stop that. There'll be some teams that they don't try it against.
Great.
They will try it against us. They'll try it against us against Sheffield United. They'll try it against worse teams, you know, worse teams than them in the league. That's most of them this season. So there was a little bit of, I want to hate you for doing that. But as a technical piece of football, there's no shame, I don't think, in conceding that free kick.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw the replays and I was like, I was fully aware to, fully ready to sort of pick on somebody. And I'm like, you know, not doing the job. And there wasn't. So there's not a lot you could do. But the rest of the game, okay, City never really had to hit Top Gear, but we created some good chances. Foster had that run. We were causing a few problems, you know, corners, all that kind of thing. I think Foster had the beating of Lewis most of the night.
Yeah. The Amdouni chance.
Amdouni, I thought, was pretty
one.
Good. Yeah.
I think he's under fire as well from a few Burnley fans, which I think's harsh. I he's my favourite player. Okay,
he's
maybe Cole Osho's my favourite player, but in the absence of him, I think he's my favourite. I think he's a luxury player, but he's great.
Oh God, yeah. The problem is he gives the ball away and doesn't try to get it back. And that's the annoying thing.
Like
he tries
that.
To flick and it doesn't work. But he was pretty good. But speaking of giving the ball away, the difference between the two sides is that we made, for want of a better phrase, basic errors in giving the ball away when we didn't need to, trying a pass that wasn't need to be on. And you cannot do that against Man City. And Man City do not do that ever. And they generally will punish you, but I think we were okay. O'Shea was pretty good. Ekdal, I think, was really good. Alderweireld, I was not happy about him being left back again, but I think he was very good. Vitinho did what he could against Doku. Midfield, yeah. Sander Berge, Josh Brownhill up against what, Kevin De Bruyne or Rodri. You know, that's a mismatch.
De Bruyne was sensational last night.
Oh, he's there was a moment, and I haven't seen it, but there was a moment where I think he first time hit a long ball over his own shoulder.
Something
that
ridiculous.
Dropped in the right. And I was sat back and just went, did I just see him do what I think he did?
Are we actually in a video game here? And that was a glitch. Yeah. Like, is this not real? Are we actually playing FIFA right now? Like,
yeah, exactly. And then Haaland came on, speaking of playing FIFA, Haaland came on. Very weird atmosphere in the stadium. It was very much a case of people were there to see Haaland, not there to see a game of football. It was kind of like, I don't know if you've watched the Messi in the MLS. It's kind of like people watching Messi. It really felt like that. It was very odd. And then, yeah, he miskicked it like a Sunday league footballer on a hangover.
That was one of my favourite moments. Like, it was one of the very few moments of joy that I had last night. And I did chuckle to myself. And also as well, I'd forgotten to bring him back into my FPL league. So he's on the bench. So I was a bit like... So there's an area of smugness from me as well as pure enjoyment. But I didn't think he was that impressive when he came on. He's clearly, listen, he's been injured and he's had a few issues. Yeah. He's going to take about 18 minutes to get fit and back up to full strength. But
as a stat gets flashed up in the stadium, I don't know why they do that. It's very distracting. What's it? 5 goals in 2 appearances against us. So yeah, you know, it's great. He's had an off night.
Yeah.
Then the VK makes the changes. Didn't really complain about the changes, brought Roberts on, kind of sort of went to 5 at the back. He put Roberts on left back, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was kind of possibly auditioning him for that role. And if Roberts was being auditioned for that role, yeah, he failed it. the thing, and this is the frustrating thing, I've never really been convinced about him, but he tries to do the Esshausery thing that Ashley Barnes did. Ashley Barnes, I was never his greatest fan, but when he did it, Ashley Barnes had a point. When Conor Roberts does that kind of thing, he just looked petulant.
And it's mindless aggression as well from Conor Roberts. And also as well, Ashley always had that charm about him and that boy, that just that...
naughtiness.
Like, it was naughtiness. It wasn't
rogue.
Petulant.
Rogue is
the word. It's the lovable thing. And it's just that, and he does it just to wind, and it's just, it's calculated, and it was just, and also done with... humor and not nastiness. It like Ashley was never nasty. He was always just like
he was boisterous.
Yeah, Conor Roberts is just he's got that streak in him, and he was very lucky last night as well when he got into that scrap, which felt unnecessarily ugly for City Burnley. We don't tend to usually have that kind of disciplinary problem there. There was one point when he pushed him, I was a bit like, if your hands were slightly higher, you were in dangerous territory there.
I think the ref looked at that because that was down the end where we were. I think the ref looked at that as 4-on-1 because Stones, who got pushed over in the first place, made a Lazarus-like recovery to rejoin it. Edison came in. I think he gave a little elbow to the back of the head.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 6-of-1, half a dozen of the other. And all, but ultimately, it was a bit of petulance. And then we finally had the goal. The first goal... we have scored in 8 Premier League games at the Etihad.
Yes.
And I was there, and we all celebrated it like it was a last minute winner.
I was so happy when it went in for you.
Yeah, and it was great. We absolutely loved it. And then as a final thing, we all started chanting 4-3, we're gonna win 4-3. And the City fans did not like that either.
They've no sense of humour. What's happened to City? What has happened to City fans? Like, come back. Yeah. Where are you all? Come back. They've all gone.
Well, no, I mean, to be fair, if you ask any of them that did they go to Bury in 1997, then they'll all say yes. And if it was true, then Gig Lane would have a capacity of 72,000. but no, it was all right. I was happy with the way the team played. I thought their heads didn't drop. Alderkeel, he's the guy who scored the goal from like 2 yards, but he was our centre back, which is just company ball in a nutshell, and why I love it. They kept going. They played some nice stuff. They had a goal threat, which we rarely ever saw when Dyche was up against them. We could maybe have scored 2 rather than 1. Zeki had that breakaway. Foster had a couple of chances. Yes, yeah, City would have probably won 4-2 or 5-3 or whatever, but it was better than I've seen there for the last 3 or 4 years. And I keep thinking this about, you know, if we do go down, we're not a bad side in any way, shape or form. We're actually just not good enough in a very competitive division. So
we're stuck in the middle.
Like, so down.
Aren't we? We're stuck in the middle. We are light years ahead of the Championship, light years behind the Premier League. But this worries me, does this, Mike? Because this is why I feel that the Premier League has a problem. I feel like the shift in power and money and balance from the powerful 10 sides and division means that it might not be as dramatic as a Super League, but I think that the Premier League is heading towards a close shot.
It's a Super League in all but name.
Yeah. And the rest of us will have to maybe do a Premier League B team for the likes of us, Brentford, Brighton, West Ham, Palace, those kind of teams. They want like Leeds, Southampton, all of those kind of sides that have flirted with the Premier League. But there's no way that anybody anymore can compete with the powerful side, and it worries me. And I think last night just showed that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I'm actually working on something for that, about how the Premier League is. They keep saying, they'll tell you it's the most competitive league and blah, 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 blah.
It isn't. Like,
not even close.
No, it really isn't. The Championship's light years ahead of the Premier League in terms of being a competitive league for a start.
Yeah, there was again a couple of, there was a chant that the City fans had, which was about Rodri. I'll again cut the swearing, which was the one we use for Vitinho. He's Brazilian. He only costs 30 million. And the second time they did it, I'm like, oh my God, you're serious.
Oh, this is not ironic. Lord.
And there is this two-tier Premier League. There's the clubs that spend 30 million on a player as a minimum, and the clubs that will spend 25 to 30 million as a maximum. You know, that's the difference between the two. But you know, in terms of the game, in terms of the performance, I was happy. You know, I think, you know, I was happy as I could have been. I'd have been more depressed if they'd have played like that and we'd lost 6-1.
Okay, that's interesting. Well,
because it would have been unfair.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So let's close this section out then on the million-dollar question, which is the one that I was most keen to ask you about, and I'm going to let you finish on this. Did you see enough last night to give you any hope that we have any chance of clawing back some points and surviving this season?
Yes. But I've said that for a while. I've said that for last 3 or 4 games. I don't think we're a bad side, and they are improving game after game after game. Alderkeel against Luton did not look like it was going to work at left back. Was it Luton? Anyway, Alderkeel, there was a game he was pressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Luton. It did not look like it worked. He actually looked pretty good yesterday. Admit it, he's up against Phil Foden. He's not going to win every single time. He's not going to win a lot of them, but he looked a lot better. The central defence, I'm not a big fan of Dara O'Shea, but him and Akdal last night, I don't really have any complaints.
O'Shea's getting stronger, you know. It's a development that's maybe not as quick as we would like and maybe might never be strong enough for a Premier League pairing. But if we played Ekdal and O'Shea next season in the Championship as centre-half pairing, we just won't concede any goals.
Yeah, absolutely. I said this about 6 weeks ago. I said if we could keep this team together in 2 years, it's awesome.
Yeah,
there's so much potential. Not enough.
The problem
experience
is we won't. As a bare minimum, as a bare minimum, Foster, Amdune, and Sanderberg will not play in the Championship next year. Those three will go.
They're too good. But
way too good.
Yeah, but you know, I still have hope. I really do, because
good.
You could, well, look at Fulham. We went to Fulham. We're going to talk about Fulham in a bit, but we went to Fulham and, held on for about 20 minutes. And then after that, it was like, after we scored that first one, we didn't look anything like losing.
So dominant, yeah, definitely. The problem is, it's just been they've been too few and far between of those performances. There's not been any consistency this season. And every single time we've got a point or three, it's been followed by a loss. We've not had any back-to-back results at all this season. And that is really difficult in terms of building momentum in this league.
Yeah, and I think I'm not a believer in religion or anything like that, but I do think the footballing gods are a little bit against us this year.
Hmm.
You know, that Luton one was a kick in the teeth.
Gosh.
The Villa, Forest. I know everyone's complaining about VAR and decisions and blah, 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 blah. And I don't particularly care about arguing whether they're right or wrong. It's more a case of that keeps happening over and over.
Yeah.
And at some point, you just go, it's just not perhaps working.
It's not
or it's
easy.
Not, it's just sometimes it's just not going to happen.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's move on. It's Pingbo Davin, who has been patiently waiting in our wings. Dave. Norwich. No, it's not Norwich. Why did I say Norwich? Why on earth did I say Norwich? Do you know, I was thinking in my head something about... I was thinking in my head then, as we were finishing off that section, I was going to say... I was going to ask the question, aren't we just at least relieved that we're not going to beat like Norwich's worst results of the season, whatever that point season were, and it came out we're playing Norwich this weekend. So that'll be a turn up for the books. It's Fulham. Clarets, it's Fulham. Would it be the No Name Ever preview show if I didn't get the opposition name wrong? I mean, you know what, it's part of the script now. Fulham at home, Dave. Saturday, 3rd of February. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff, not televised anywhere live in the UK. So can you please kick us off this week's preview show with the first feature, match results summary?
And hopefully I can be a bit more upbeat this time.
Yeah, oh, please do. That was a sad preview show last week. Well, we needed counselling by the end of it.
It's the material. I can only work with what I've got. We hinted at it towards the end of our last preview show, but if you thought Burnley's away record at Manchester City was terrible, then just wait until you hear how Fulham's fans dread their trips to Turf Moor. Way back in April 1951, almost 73 years ago, Fulham managed a 2-0 victory at Turf Moor. But since then, they've tried again 31 times. In all three of the top tiers of the Football League, as well as in both cup competitions. And they're still to register another win. That's 25 defeats and just 6 draws since their last victory here. Overall, in away league games, Fulham have managed 5 wins against us, but 2 of those were before the First World War. Then there were 2 between the wars, leaving that single away win from 1951 as their only post-war victory. And so there can't be too many of their supporters who are even alive to remember any good times at Turf Moor. There have been another 8 draws in league games for them and 31 Burnley wins. Unsurprisingly, Burnley have outscored our visitors by 94 goals to 37. Of course, past performance is not necessarily an accurate indicator of future results. But try telling that to the Fulham fans. But if there's a crumb of comfort for them, then their 3 visits to Turf Moor in the Premier League have produced 2 draws for them and just 1 defeat.
Okay, so that's slightly positive. I mean, all I heard throughout that entire section was that Fulham are going to come away from the game with their first win. So let's hope that that doesn't happen. It's like all in my head all the way you said that, I was like, oh my God, did you a win? And if this is a season, Fulham fans, that you think you're going to get it, then this is the one. Okay, moving on then, please. We are going to move on to our One to Remember, One to Forget feature, which is 2 matches, One to Remember, One to Forget. Very conflicting, different memories. Now, however, taking into account Fulham's difficulties on their travels over an extended period, there isn't really a one to forget from a Burnley perspective. So I think, Dave, you're just going to be looking back at a one to remember this time.
Yeah, we're just going to do one this time because, as I say, there isn't really a one to forget, certainly not in our lifetime or even going a lot further back than that. There are quite a lot to choose from, though, in terms of one to remember. In fact, with 25 wins from 31 home matches in all competitions since Fulham last managed an away win at Turf Moor in 1951, we really are spoilt for choice. but we're going to look back at an unlikely Burnley victory against Fulham towards the end of the 1998-99 season. It was early May 1999, towards the end of Stan Ternent's first season as Burnley manager. After a poor run of form in the early months of 1999, it looked like he might not make it to the end of the campaign, with Burnley in 21st position at one point in mid-March, after heavy back-to-back home defeats to Gillingham and Manchester City, 5-0 and 6-0. And it was looking like we were favourites for the unthinkable, relegation back to the fourth tier. But new chairman Barry Kilby kept faith with Stan. And determined 11-match unbeaten run at the end of the campaign included a memorable home win against Moneybags Fulham, who were the runaway leaders in the division, with Harrods owner Mohamed Al-Fayed as their chairman and former England legend Kevin Keegan as their manager. After suffering a 4-0 away defeat at Craven Cottage earlier in the season, Burnley turned the tables at the Turf thanks to a first-ever Burnley goal from super sub Ronnie Jepson. In the 82nd minute, a long throw from the left led some head tennis inside the box before the ball ricocheted around and fell to Rocket Ronnie, who turned and fired a low shot past Mike Taylor to put the Clarets ahead. Fulham's Kit Simons was sent off just before the end for a foul on Andy Cook, and there was no way back for the visitors, who once more left Turf Moor pointless. We can only hope for a repeat of that result this weekend.
That's what we need this season, Mike. We need a Rocket Ronnie. Don't we? We need that kind of
character. We do, although when you say Rocket Ronnie Jepson, it's always a Rocket Rod to me. It's Rocket Rod Futcher.
I don't know who that is.
Right, early 90s. When I started watching Burnley in the early 90s, Ron Futcher was up front. We called him Rocket Ron because he absolutely wasn't. he was also known as the Scud Missile at the time because he was old, slow and inaccurate. But anyway.
Do you know what? I love football fan humour. It's the absolute best. Absolute best. Right, I've got derailed. Get me back to my script. Right, hit us up with some referee details, please, young David.
Okay, 41-year-old Darren Bond of Ormskirk will be taking charge of a Burnley match in the Premier League for the very first time this weekend. As well as refereeing one previous cup tie, though, a 1-1 draw with Leeds United in the League Cup in 2017, which eventually saw us knocked out after penalties, he also refereed four of our matches in the Championship last season. They were a 1-1 draw at home to Luton, the 5-2 defeat at Sheffield United, plus victories at home to Preston and away to Middlesbrough. There have been no red cards in Darren Bond's previous five Burnley matches, and the yellow card count stands at 10 to Burnley players and 9 to our opponents. This will also be just his second appointment as a Premier League referee so far this season. The other time was way back in August and involved Fulham. They were comprehensively beaten 3-0 at Craven Cottage by Brentford and had defender Tim Ream sent off on that occasion. Darren Bond will also be helped out by John Brooks, who's the video assistant referee duties this Saturday.
Lovely stuff. Okay, back to you, Mike. The signs, let's ignore the fact that Fulham are probably due a win and we're not going to start jinxing this, but the signs are looking promising. And given that we've already beaten Fulham so far this season and their abysmal record at Turf Moor, there's a lot to be positive about this weekend. Is this a game that we can go into and say, yeah, we'll win on Saturday? This is great. This is 3 points.
I wouldn't go, yeah, definitely, but because of the way it's gone this year so far. But I'm confident because Fulham they're a weird club. They're a weird team. It's weird. They just live in this kind of odd little world. They're the only London club that it's acceptable to like in the Premier League because they always seem to promise but never deliver. Oh, there's Brentford as well. But the thing with Fulham is, you know, the other London clubs, you know, Chelsea, West Ham, they've got, you know, bad reputations, hooligan firms, etc. Fulham, their idea of hooliganism is basically sending you a strongly worded letter the day after. But
or giving you a bad cup of tea.
Sorry?
Or giving you a bad cup of tea.
I'll give you a bad cup of tea. I mean, they've got David Hamilton on the announcer's mic, you know, the old Radio 2 DJ, don't they? Despite the fact that the guy who owns them employs wrestlers, you know? So they should get one of them on the mic and then powerbomb a mascot through a table. But anyway, as a team, they always seem to either be very, very good for like two or three games.
Yeah.
And then just not really do much. And Marco Silva, he's the same kind of managerial career, isn't it? It was like he looked really, really good at Watford.
I'm not convinced by him.
Yeah, and then he went to Everton and nothing. I think he was at Hull, nothing. And then he goes to Fulham, gets them up. Yeah. And then where are they now? They're a bit of a mishmash. So, as a team, Silva, that manager,
sorry to cut across there. Silva's manager, I remember a stat from his early days where he'd had something ridiculous like 17 jobs in 19 years, or that is clearly dramatic.
I think you're right. Yeah,
there's like some really weird, it's very well traveled. Now, you kind of, when I'm looking at it as a fan, I'm going, there are some red flags here.
Yeah, it's just odd. But, you know, occasionally, like I say, at Fulham, he's done a good job most of the time. And when we went down there, actually, it was kind of like they were on one of those highs, they were on one of those good runs. And then we just kind of handled them.
Very well as well.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, I know it sounds daft. If it's me, I'd go in, I think we're slight favourites.
We should be favourites.
I think we're favourites, you know, based, and that's kind of like, we're not going to have that too often this season. So I think it's going to work a little bit like the away game. I think if we handle them for 20 minutes, then they'll just go, it's not our day. We'll get on the coach, go back home.
Yeah. What do you know about the lineup, Mike? I mean, we've got a couple of new faces in. We've signed Alan.
We signed Alan, basically. He's going to be called Alan, isn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely going to be called Alan. And we've signed him. There is rumours that there is a left-back coming in, or that's yet to be confirmed. Fofana's obviously in here as well. He made an appearance. And I can't pronounce his name. The young lad who came at the end, is it Masengo?
Oh, Masengo.
Yeah, Masengo. He looked good when he came on. He looked impressive. So, do you make any changes given the fact that this is a crucial home game that we should be winning?
Do I make changes from Wednesday's team? No.
Okay, I can't think of the same team.
I can't think of anyone who played themselves out of a start on Wednesday.
Excellent. You start with Goodmunson as well, because that surprised me.
Yeah, I think he just put a shift in. If you swap Goodmunson for Brun Larsen, you know, it's like for like if you swap that around. Alderweireld didn't do much, but it's not a game where he's going to do much. I think it's where Fulham is where he's going to do well. As always, I worry about the back of the midfield, the back four. Yeah, I think we're fine, absolutely fine. More than happy to see them start. Berger and Brownhill in midfield. I'm not the biggest fan of Josh Brownhill, but he'll do the job against a Fulham.
He's another one that just is very out of place in the. He's an absolute boss in the Championship, but very out of place in the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of those middle players. But I think he can do a job against Fulham.
Good.
I go with the same starting 11. And then we see who else is on the bench. You know, I've no problem with that.
Good. Give me a score prediction then, please, Mike, to finish us off.
2-1, Burnley.
Dave?
I'm going to go for a Burnley win as well, not because of the past history, but Fulham's away record this season has been very poor as well. I think that our performances are improving. The results need to come. It's pretty much a must-win game for us. This stage, and I think Burnley are going to come away with 3 points. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Burnley win.
I am also going to go for a Burnley win, and I'm going to say 3-0. I think it's going to be
Haven't Fulham got like the second lowest scoring in the division?
I don't care. It's going to be another repeat of Sheffield United. We're going to
that'd be great.
Boss it, and it's going to be a very, very good afternoon. So, listeners, you know the drill by now. Do send us your score predictions. You know how to get in touch with us. We would love to hear whether or not you are feeling nice and positive. Dave, back to you, please, for one final feature. The return of Fulham's famous fans, please. Who's on the shortlist? And, Mike, it's down to you again to rate them.
Okay, well, here are the famous Fulham fans we've shortlisted in no particular order. First up, it's two for the price of one. We've got Keith Allen, comedian and actor, who's now surprisingly aged 70. I didn't realise he was that old. And his daughter,
Lily Allen's
Lily Allen's dad.
Albie Allen's dad.
Yes. She's obviously a singer and actress and aged 38. Next up is Hugh Grant, actor famous for playing roles as a bumbling Englishman, so basically just playing himself, really. He's aged 63. He even helped out, apparently. he even helped out, apparently, with half of the $60,000 transfer fee for Robbie Herrera in 1993 when Fulham was struggling financially. That was before Al Fayed and his millions. Margot Robbie, next up. She's an actress and producer, but her first major role...
Hang on a minute. I'm not having this. Let me continue.
Okay. Her first major roles as Donna Friedman in Neighbours when she was a teenager. She's now aged 33. Why would an Australian-born actress support a team from West London? Apparently, that's because her film producer husband, Tom Ackerley, as well as one of her best friends, are both fans of the club.
Is that a close enough link for you to put her as a celebrity fan, Dave? That is tenuous.
Definitely, it definitely isn't. It went down well in the WhatsApp group.
Yeah,
as well,
but we're not going to share the screenshots of our silly boys in the group when Margot Robbie's name came up. Carry on, please. I'm not having that one, by the way. Can the jury please strike out Margot Robbie's name for purposes of this?
Next up is Richard Osman, quiz show host and best-selling author. He's regularly seen at Craven Cottage, age 53. Emily Maitlis is a Canadian-born journalist, as well as being a former BBC news presenter. She now works for LBC and often tweets her support for her club. She's age 53. And finally, Mike's mentioned it already, David Hamilton, veteran disc jockey, and also is a former Fulham FC matchday announcer. He doesn't do any more. He's aged 85. He does still broadcast on the radio, but it doesn't do the match day duties at Craven Cottage anymore.
Excellent. Mike, hit us with it. We know what... Well, listen, we don't need to tell you what Team None and Ever's things were. Just the inclusion of Margot Robbie, give them all 10. They all went giddy. So let's ignore that one. What? Give us the prediction. Give us your prediction score.
I think...
It's a good list, right?
It's a good list. I think actually I'll go with a 6. Because Keith Allen drags it down. I'm sorry. I am a harsh guy. I have harsh opinions about famous people. Keith Allen is one of those people that I used to do comedy and all that kind of thing. And I've seen Keith Allen and I'm like, what did you ever do to get famous? is basically
he wrote and sang an absolutely banging football anthem, by the way. Vindaloo was sublime. I love it. Why is that buzzing? Can you hear a buzzing noise?
I don't know, but it'll sound better than Vindaloo did. You set me off on Oasis, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, exactly. I think I'd actually prefer listening to Wonderwall than Vindaloo. That's how bad Vindaloo is. I'm going to revise it. I'm going to say a 7 because I like Hugh Grant. Margot Robbie, I appreciate for more mature reasons than the lads in the WhatsApp group. She's a very fine actress as well.
She is.
Emily Maitlis, yeah, she's all right. David Hamilton, yeah, I remember. I can't remember who the other one was. But anyway, I'll give it a 7.
Richard Osman. See,
Richard Osman,
yeah, I think he's an eight.
Wrong with Richard Osman. Yeah. Very, very smart, funny guy.
I'm going to moderate this score. We're going to go down from the 10 that the silly boys did, and we're going to go up from Mike, slightly biased one. So I'm going to moderate it to an 8. So there you go, Dave. Our Fulham fans get 8 out of 10 for their celebrity fans. Let's round up this episode, please, with our community news. Finishes off, please, Dave.
We've got an FPL reminder, first of all, for this weekend. It's game week 23, and the FPL kicks off with a Saturday lunchtime match between Everton and Spurs at Goodison Park. That's a 12:30 kickoff, so you have until 11 a.m. on Saturday morning to tinker with your team. And as always, we say green arrows to you all. Now, for anyone watching on YouTube, I've got some green arrows. Unfortunately,
this is so
I've
good.
Also green screen, so this is not going to work at all. I am waving green arrows and nobody can see them. What is worse than that is anyone listening to the podcast, not watching it, has got no idea what's going on.
Yeah, this is where the picture is. There we are.
Green arrows. Green arrows to you all.
Lovely. Shake him about a bit, Dave. In front of your face so we can see him. There we go. Green arrows to you all. Well, listeners, that is all we've got time for, so let's wrap up this episode. My thanks as ever go to everybody who has contributed to this podcast episode. First and foremost, to my guests in the studio, special guest Mike Landers, who we hope I'm going to see a lot more of coming. We're bringing him in. We're bringing him off the bench into the podcast team. And of course, the main man himself, the creator and host of our previous show, Dave Statman-Roberts, to producer March, to the rest of the team, to Adam Dennett, our FPL expert, for producing their content. Thanks again to you for the listeners for tuning in. Do hit that subscribe button, whether you're watching on YouTube, comment below and turn on your notifications and subscribe via your usual podcast. Godspeed to everybody heading to Turf Moor at the weekend. We are going to win. We're going to win comfortably. It's going to be another Sheffield United. And we will be back next Tuesday with the analysis show, celebrating 3 points and a fantastic win for the mighty Clarets. If you've got any comments or suggestions, you know how to get in touch with us. But in the meantime, we will see you next week. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the preview show brought to you by the Known and Ever podcast. Until next time.
The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting knownandever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.